Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The second hour of KJ and Don Darrow, WEEI. Thank you so much for hanging out. 617-779-7937. The big talk is the Celtics lost last night, how they looked horrible against the Heat. They're down 2-1. Let's go to Steve in the car, who thinks there's only one reason why the Celtics lost last night. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, I watched the game. I think the big reason is turnovers, honest to God. How many times did they drive down the court and they turn the ball over? I don't remember the specific statistic, but
24 turnovers, 33 points off turnovers, Steve.
Yeah, that's huge. And they were right in it. At the very end, they were down by 1 point. They could have won that game.
Yes. You're right. There's nothing to argue there. Turnovers, that was the game yesterday. That was game. And that's why, you know, Jaylen Brown, the 40 points was nice, but the 7 turnovers, you cannot. It was just some of the turnovers, just watching them, too, unfold.
Well, here's
19
the other,
steals.
That's the bigger number there, right? Because if there's 23, the box score has 23. 23 turnovers and 19 steals. You have to give the Heat some kind of credit for their defense.
Yeah,
You see what I'm saying? Because if there's 23 turnovers, that means there are 4 unforced errors, if you will, if we're doing tennis here, right? So 4
but
unforced errors.
If Robert Williams plays the next game, I think they're going to reduce the turnovers. They're going to block some shots, and I still think they can win this series. So there you go.
Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call.
All right,
he's on it. Yeah,
I was just going to say that brings us to the question that I want to ask you. Where do we stand here on this series? Where do you stand on this series? And do you think the Celtics are still in a position to get it done?
I think the Celtics have to make the commitment to getting the ball to the hole first. The 3-point shot, because if it's not there early, you can see what happens, right? You're already out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big believer that there's very few people that can stop Tatum when he goes to the hole. Stop thinking about what fouls you're not getting called or you are getting called. Let your management handle it. Let them call New York. Let coaching have the, you know, when they meet with refs and stuff like that. Let them discuss that then. But do what you need to do and what you do best. If you go to the hole, make them blow that whistle. Put that ball in the basket. Then, once defenses are willing to collapse, you have more space to take the outside three, whether it's Jaylen Brown who's out there, or if it's Brown driving and Tatum is out there, or Pritchard is out there. So, you know, you have to do the in before the out. Like, I'm a big, big fan of, like, what the Rockets did the 2 years that Jordan wasn't in the league. It was like, you feed Akeem, and everybody else will just stand out there and wait for everybody to run to Akeem. This is what the Celtics said. They have to run to that basket with the ball and make the defense collapse. When they don't have to collapse and don't have to defend wingspan guys and quick to the basket guys, it makes it easier for them.
All right, well,
that's the adjustment.
Two things real quick. Number one, I think you're allowed to take a couple threes and, you know, figure out.
I didn't say no threes.
No, I didn't
I'm just saying you can't just start off doing the threes, and when they don't work, everybody knows what you're going to do next.
Okay, but what I was going to say is you could take a few. I still think you can take a few threes, have them not go in, and still, you know, find a way to not get down 39-18 in the first quarter. You know, even though a couple threes didn't go in and you were cold to start the game.
You make them up with 2-point baskets.
Don't get down. I mean, Jaylen Brown, another stat, he was the first guy ever, and I don't have it in front of me, but something like he was the first guy ever to shoot 100% from inside the arc. He was 11 for 11 from inside the arc last night on 2-pointers. So he was producing from inside the arc. But you completely avoided my question. What I want to know is, what do you think, how do you think each game of this series the rest of the way plays out? I want game-for-game predictions right now.
Well, I can only give you the next game because that's the next story. And the next story is, can Jason Tatum get to the hole and get baskets easier than standing out doing 3 for 7 from outside and or 1 for 7 outside and doing nothing from inside? You've got to show that you can get to the hole, and probably you have to drop 40. You probably have to drop 40 if you're Jason Tatum.
All right, so you're doing
and I don't want to see that forced from outside. I don't want you to start trying to get your 40 from the outside. Like, get to the hole, make the defensive collapse, make the defense collapse. You're going to get assists that way. And then when that starts happening, things are going to be open for whatever you want to do from the outside as the game progresses.
You're doing a masterful job of avoiding my question.
I just told you what I want to see in game 4. I can't tell you what happens in game 5.
Okay, okay.
Okay, I'll give you another one for game 4. I'd like to see Robert Williams back. Is that good?
No. Here's I want you to answer this question. Are the Celtics going to win this series?
If they lose game 4, no. So there you go. Okay. That tells you more about 5, 6,
well, no,
or even a 7.
No, yeah. I mean, no, they. I mean, that's not going out on a limb. If they lose game 4, they're down 3-1 with 2 games left in Miami. Do you think they're going to win the series? Are they going to find a way to win game 4 and then win 2 more?
If they have a best of 3 chance, they have another game they can win. They'll win the series.
All right, I'll answer the question.
If it gets to 2-10.
Yes,
if it gets to
2-2, they're going to win the series. I still think they're going to win this series. I do. Because I still think that on your way to a championship, it is inevitable that you have to come immeasurable adversity. And I think if they're going to be a champion.
But it's happened in 2 games. 2 games. You blew the lead in game 1. See, this would be a totally different conversation today if the Celtics just happen to lose game 3 and they're still up 2-1. Remember, this is the same team that blew game 1, right? And you should. I'm a big fan of win game 1 on the road to set the tone of the series, right? And if you blow game 1, and if you still imagine that you win 2 games and then you come back home, you're kind of playing with house money. You have them against the wall. It feels a little now like the Celtics are against the wall, and rightfully so because they're down 2-1.
They are against the wall, but like, let's not lose sight of what an
they
NBA
don't have to be. They but, didn't have. They don't have. It should be a 2-1 series Celtics. That's why so many people feel like the Celtics can still win the series, because you're thinking about how well they played in game 1, except for the third quarter.
It should be a 2-1 series or a 3-0 series. I mean,
well, the Celtics weren't going to win last night. It should. I mean, they weren't
39-18. I mean, they couldn't find a way to not have that happen, and then they're right there. 33 points off turnovers? You cut that number in half, you win by 9.
Yeah, but it's still 39-18 after 1, right? So that's the you're down 21 going into the second quarter. It's going to be hard to chase down those leads. It's very hard to chase down a 20-point lead in the NBA.
I'm going to be really clear on this. I just still think that the Celtics are still, the statistics all favor the Celtics. I still think they have enough grit. I still think they have enough moxie where they're going to be able to right the ship, turn it around, and find a way to win this series, where they have to win at home, on the road, if their backs are against the wall. I just think if you're going to be a champion, that's the kind of stuff you have to overcome, and I think they're going to find a way to do it. That's what I think. Now, if I'm wrong and heat culture prevails, I will sit up here and I'll say, I'm wrong, and the Heat, they showed me that I will never be wise to pick against them against the Celtics ever again. I won't do it. I'll learn my lesson. But until that happens, I'm sticking with the Celtics. I think they're going to find a way to win game 4. I think they're going to find a way. If I have to, you know, get real specific right now, I'll say they win game 4, they win game 6, they win game 7 in Miami. That's what I think is going to happen.
I'm just going to go with what's in front of me.
You don't want to go out on a limb.
I've already said I believed. I said earlier I thought the Celtics would win the series in 6, and I still believe they could win it in 6 if they win game 4. I think they can rattle off 3 games in a row, but they have to win game 4 to start that 3-game winning streak.
Yeah, I agree with that. If they lose game 4, I don't think they win 3 in a row, 2 in Miami. That's asking a little too much.
I said that 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but I wanted a definitive answer.
I gave you a definitive answer.
You didn't say they're going to win the series.
I still don't know if
you think they're going to win the series.
I just told you, if they win.
I don't want your first word to be if.
I said if they lose game 4, they don't win this series. If they win game 4, I could see them winning 2 more games after that.
I don't want your first word to be if. I want you to tell me what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Are they going to win game 4 or are they going to lose game 4?
They're going to win game 4.
Thank you. They're going to win game 4, so they're going to win in 6. They're going to win 4, 5, and 6. That's what KJ thinks. Thank you.
But I told you, I mean, there could be another way to winning it. If it goes seven games, then somewhere there's a lost game in there.
That's all I'm asking. I'm asking you to tell me what's going to happen. That's what I want to know. That way the listener can say, that's interesting.
What is not concrete when I say if the Celtics lose game four, they do not win this series? The math doesn't matter.
Because I was asking for more decisiveness than that. I wanted you to say they're going to win game four, then they're going to win game five, then they're going to lose game six. Everyone's going to be shocked at home they lose, but then they're going to win game seven. And I would say, oh, look at that interesting path KJ's mapped out. That's cool.
So I said the Celtics would win in six before the series started.
Okay.
So if they win game four, guess what? They win five and six, too. There's your Celtics in six.
All right, so say it.
But I've said it. I just told you. I said
I was unclear.
One side looks like.
I'm sorry, I was unclear.
No. Mike and Randolph, thanks for calling. KJ and Dondero, you're on the air. Thanks for calling, man.
Good morning, guys. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday, Mike. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Listen, 25 turnovers. Terrible job rebounding, terrible game by Tatum, and you still have an opportunity to win. You just got to look at the eyeball test. Right now, we have not lost to the Heat. We beat ourselves twice. If you do not turn the ball over and just get a little bit, do a little bit better of a job rebounding, you're not losing to this team. You're a better team. Like, I'm watching Matt. I know he had a couple big shots last night, but it's like tweak a couple little things. And you're 15 points better than this team every single night. I agree, KJ. This is Celtics in six. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If they just bear down, they're going to win the next three games because they have not lost to this team. And I cannot wait for someone to say, well, Jimmy Butler didn't play in the second half. Bam Adebayo gave you 35 points when he gave you 16 in the first two quarters. So we're going to win this, fellas. Let's go.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call. Boy, you talk about a pep squad here in New England, man. Look, if Rob Williams is a game four, game time decision or a scratch, that's a problem. It's a problem.
Yeah. And here's another thing. I'm not all that confident that Marcus Smart is just going to be available. I mean, he's been missing games here and there, coming out
they
of nowhere to
one,
miss
yep.
games. And all they of a sudden,
game one, yep.
Yeah, he missed game one. He missed the game. Didn't he miss a game in the Milwaukee series that was kind of unexpected? Yeah, the thigh bruise.
The thigh bruise when
where
he took
it was
the
like,
hard
oh,
hit.
Really? Yeah. He's missing that game? The game they were, what was it, game two? They were just coming off a loss, too.
It was after he took that bad spill in game two. That's right.
Game two,
after
so they lost game
three on the road. No, they
I
won game
they
three without
loss.
They lost game one against Milwaukee, won game two.
It was game one where he got hurt, and he missed game two, I think.
Okay, either way, Marcus Smart has missed games in this series and
right.
in the last
so
series.
So, and then he rolls his ankle. The adrenaline wears off. I'm not all that confident based on what's been going on that he's going to be available. Now, it appears like he's going to be all right. Ime Udoka said he thought he'd be okay, but I just can't say that with unbelievable conviction based on what's been going on. The turnovers, that is the story in terms of why they're losing games from a team perspective because this, you know, You cut that in half, you win that game. You don't turn the ball over in game one, you probably win that game. Or you cut that in half, you probably win that game in the third quarter. Doesn't turn into the abomination that it did. It's just, I get it. You know, you can keep saying they're beating themselves or beating themselves. If they lose one more game, the series is going to be basically over. I mean, so.
Mark, let's give Paulie in the truck 30 seconds
before
we get to trending. Go ahead, Paulie in the truck. 30 seconds, last night's game, your thoughts.
Hey, boys, what's happening?
What's up, Paulie?
Hey, I think the Celtics coming into last night's game had a false sense of security. And within that, and that's why they came out flat. They blew them out in game two. And they come out flat. They don't do that. They keep up. They'll wear them down. They're able to help Miami. Okay? Miami tried to hand that game away. In the second half, and it just fell just short. But they don't come out flat. They win that game going away. KJ, you're right. They got to go to the hole, get a 40 issue early. So the team that shoots better is going because they're both good defensive teams. You got to force the issue early, try to get the ball in the hole, so you open things up outside. Whoever shoots better is going to win the series.
Paulie, thanks for the call, man. Spot on. Not because he agrees with me, but he agreed with both of us, Mark.
11 for 11 from inside three, Jaylen Brown last night, and they still lost because he turned the ball over seven times. So you got to cut down. You got to go to the hole. I'm with you. I love that. I think it sets the tone for the game, but you cannot turn the ball over. And if you're going to go to the hole and commit to that, Jaylen Brown can't be wearing gloves when he's trying to dribble. He's got to protect it. He's got to keep it, and he's got to get to the rim and not turn it over seven times on the way to 40 points.
You're catching out. You're checking out KJ and Don Darrow on WEEI 617-779-7937. The conversation continues, but right now it's time for Ethan to trend.
Gresh and Keith, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com? The Celtics fell to the Miami Heat last night 109 to 103 to bring the series to 2-1 in favor of Miami. The Seas fell behind early, playing catch up all night with 24 turnovers total and 33 points off of those turnovers. Jaylen Brown had a 40-point game, while Jason Tatum went 3 of 14 from the field with just a measly 10 points.
Hey, Ethan, real quick.
What's up?
Tatum, 1 for 5 in 11 possessions against Max Strus. I mean, nice. You can't have that.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah, you guys aren't wrong. You guys aren't wrong. Game 4 is going to be Monday night. Tip-off's at 8:30 p.m. here in Boston. Jimmy Butler will potentially miss that game. He is questionable with a knee issue he's been dealing with since the Eastern quarterfinals. New England Revolution came out winners of their match yesterday against the FC Cincinnati 3-2. And in the PGA news, Tiger Woods withdrew yesterday from the PGA Championship after carding a 9-over with a total score of 79. That's his worst of the series. The championship continues today with Mito Pereira sitting at first with nine under, and Will Zalatoris and Matt Fitzpatrick are tied at second at 6 under. And then finally, the Red Sox are currently on a 4-game win streak now after beating the Seattle Mariners 6-5 yesterday. Devers hit a pair of homers, and now the Red Sox lead that series 3-0 with the final game of that series today at 1:35 p.m. You can catch the pregame with Brian Barrett right here at 12:35 p.m. on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI, a Red Sox network. And I am Ethan Hrisadoulou. That is what's trending here at WEEI and WEEI.com.
Trending now, brought to you by Cars for Kids, the easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or call 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But Art, you're hearing some things about how folks out in Foxborough feel about the muddy coaching waters. What are you hearing?
I don't want to make a huge deal out of this yet, because let's keep in mind, this is a completely new regime on the offensive side of the ball. They could be doing things a different way, and there could be a lot of people who aren't used to the new way things are going to be done, and maybe they might be better. I'm allowing for that. But so far, I mean, I have countless people who have either been with the Patriots or are hearing from players on the team who they are alarmed to this point, and they've barely done anything so far, Trenny. And so they are really worried about the direction of the offense, where this is going, especially off of what a lot of people heard. A lot of people around the NFL listened to what Joe Judge said the other day, and almost all of them were like, what? What is he talking about? And so there is a high level of concern about what's going on with the Patriots.
KJ and Don Darrow, WEEI. That's Greg Bedard saying what, I don't know, I guess they've been hearing me say here on WEEI for the last several months. Chaos. What is and is not going on with the upper echelon of the team in terms of decision making, Mark?
Listen, I don't know if Greg Bedard and his reporting or whatever that is accurate. I have no idea. But if it is,
what tells you that it's not?
Well, I don't know. Players talking about it. I mean, here's why I'm questioning it. If it is accurate and there are players voicing those types of thoughts and sentiments about the coaching staff, my question would be, who on that roster in New England, in Foxborough, is in a position to question Bill Belichick and the coaching staff? As sketchy as it may look, you need to focus on whatever you're doing to get better. Herb Brooks had a line in Miracle where he said, he was talking to Michael Ruzzioni, he was like, you get enough to keep you busy. Or he was like, worry about your own game enough to keep you busy there. That's what I would say to whomever said this in the Patriots locker room. Because I don't care if it was a defensive player, an offensive player, if it was Matt Judon, if it was Devin McCourty. And I don't
Wait. Why would you say those names?
I don't know. I'm not just throwing names out there because they're good players.
And maybe you don't do that if you don't know who said it?
I don't know. So I'm saying I don't know who said it. I don't mean to just throw names out there. But no matter who said it, somebody, based on what Bedard said, uttered those sentiments, you know, got that word, got that narrative out there. If that's the case, I would advise that player to shut up and to go and do their own work. How about get in the film room if it's a defensive guy and worry about finding out how to stop or make Buffalo punt? Why don't you worry about that? Or if it's an offensive guy, who's chirping about the coaches? Is it a wide receiver? Is he worried that the coaches aren't going to be good enough, wide receiver?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think this could be tied to why no big name free agents are even sniffing the place? You think this is something that's being, because players talk. That's a fact. Players talk, and they talk amongst each other, even if they're not on the same team. So is there potentially a narrative that's going on and say, hey, man, you know, my agent is talking to you guys and this, that, and third. What's going on there? And they say, man, I don't know what the hell is going on.
Which says
a lot without saying anything.
Yeah, if you want me to answer that question definitively, I will say no. That is not why the Patriots didn't sign big name free agents. I do think it was more about the money and the cap situation, but
they don't want to come.
I will leave that open to being possible. Maybe that is what's being talked about on, you know, during text message conversations or whatever amongst players in the league. That might happen. I would say no, that's not why the Patriots didn't have as many big name free agents come in this year. I would say no to that. But I'm just saying, if it is players talking and saying these types of things and getting that type of narrative out there, I would say, why don't you worry about what you need to worry about? Because your play, especially down the stretch last year, wasn't good enough. And there's nobody on the Patriots roster.
Wait a minute. In fairness now, but what if the guy who's saying all the Joe, you heard Bedard mention the Joe Judge comments. Joe Judge was the head coach of an offense for two straight years that was 31st in the league. Why wouldn't you be a little bit concerned? Why wouldn't you be? You're not bringing in some guru, some hotshot that's new, which I'd said, look, you may need some new blood on the offensive side of the ball when you're talking about plays. Now, you don't think offensive coordinators are a big deal, but now you have this, and you don't know how legitimate Bedard's reporting is on this, but he said it, and he said it in a public place, and we have a tape of it, so it's being played. So even if there's 2% element of truth to what he's saying, it still makes it true.
I'm not saying it's not true. I don't know whether it's true or not. I don't
believe,
know.
I believe that because this is what I've been saying all along, even the song parodies or what I've talked about. Like, look, this is just nothing but a bunch of kids coming home from college with their posters still up in the room. Like, who's really moving the ball forward on the behalf of Mac Jones, who showed everything you needed to see from him last year for a rookie? And you have to build upon that. And it doesn't look like they're a supportive building. It's like building a house and going to get really bad materials because you can get the house up in a day. The house is eventually going to fall. It's going to have problems. Or sometimes, and some HVAC people know this, when you put too small of the AC unit that doesn't match up with the square footage with the house just to cut cost, and you can't, you know, why is the house always hot? Because your AC unit outside is too small. It's not enough square footage. This is for like a cottage. That's what it feels like. When you take shortcuts, you get bad long-term results.
I just think that if players are talking, I think the problems with the Patriots start with the fact that the players aren't good enough. So why don't you find a way to be better?
Or who gets the players? I think Bill Parcells addressed that. Who gets the players? Who goes and gets the players?
Well, okay, but that's not what they're saying. What the players are saying is they don't understand what's going on with the assistant coach situation. So they're not talking about the players and who's shopping for the groceries. They're the groceries. So I would say that the problem for the Patriots is that the players aren't good enough. That's their main problem. When they look around the AFC, those teams have better players, and the Patriots don't have enough talent, especially offensively at the skill positions, like we've talked about ad nauseum. They don't have enough talent. So that is the big overwhelming narrative about the Patriots. They don't have enough good players. So when I hear something where players are bitching about the coaches, that doesn't sit well with me, because the first problem that the Patriots have is that the players aren't good enough.
So I'm crazy to think that the team will be 6-11. So that sounds crazy now. You say the players are not good enough. There are reports that they don't know what's going on, and they have questions about what's going on with their immediate supervisors. Call it their capos.
I say you were crazy to say they were going 6-11?
Asking, do you think I'm crazy when I say they're going 6-11?
I disagree with you. I won't say you're crazy. I don't think they're going to go 6-11.
That's a bad team, though, right? 6-11 is a bad team?
That's a bad team.
How about like 7-9?
I have them at 8-9. That's what I have them as.
8-9. So this is a losing team. I just think it's deeper. I think it's deeper than what's being led on.
And so you think that they're going to be bad on the field in terms of an execution perspective, and there's going to be a little tension in the locker room amongst the players' team because of what they're doing as a coaching staff?
Nah, I just think they're just going to be a feel like there's a level of ineptness at the leadership position with the individual coaches. Like, there's just going to be some form of lack of respect of what my offensive coordinator may have to say, or whoever may be running the defense, if it's the coach's son. I mean, why would you go out and play hard for these guys? Why? I mean, I know I'm a fan, but, you know, it's not my knees that are getting busted. It's not my cartilage being torn. It's not my contract that's up. So, I mean, why would you go out and play hard for people who seem inept at their job?
That's fair. I mean, you still have Bill Belichick as the head coach. I still think they have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, that's going to the president of the that's like working at a grocery store and calling up the president of the company to complain about, like, someone not stocking shelves. No, that's Belichick. Belichick is above the clouds with all this. He's put these other people in charge to be the immediate, what's the word I'm looking for? Let's call it the immediate supervisor to run the execution of what he believes should happen. And if the players feel like those people who are standing in front of them in these coaches' room are inept, well, what makes you think that I'm going to give you my best effort?
Well, have you ever watched those Patriots videos after they've won games that Patriots.com puts out on Twitter in the celebration in the locker room?
Yeah, those games haven't been played yet, though.
You know what always struck me about those videos, though? I was always, and it was nice to see, but I always used to see a lot of, you know, when they would come out with those videos, they only come out with the videos after the wins.
Right.
But I would always see, it was always a lot of defensive coaches congratulating offensive players. And it was always striking to me, because it was like, you don't really work with that guy, so why is Matt Patricia giving a big hug to Julian Edelman? And why is Josh McDaniels hugging Dante Hightower? But there was a lot of that.
I get it, because there's already kind of this internal struggle that goes on between D and O when it comes to who's important to the team. It's naturally built in, right?
Fine, but
this is the way that D says, hey, O, We know what we do, but we appreciate what you do. So I get that when you put it in a video like that, because if you just worship the D, worship the D, worship the D and all that and everything, O's going to feel a certain way.
But if
But if you're the, but if you know that the storyline about this team has always been Belichick and his defense, you know that you're always going to get some of the shine in the headlines more so, especially now that Tom is not here. So they're going to be, so you're going to do that in those videos. Say, hey, you know, we appreciate what you do, but, you know, we kind of know we're a little bit of the bread and butter.
But if you're asking me, do I think that the players on the Patriots would play hard for those coaches? Why would I say no when those guys have played for those coaches or have been around those coaches in the past and they've had good relationships in the past? These are coaches, first and foremost. Yeah, I know they focused on other parts of the ball, other sides of the ball. But if they're good coaches and they've had, based on those videos, the respect of the players, why, just because Bill Belichick changed their role up, if he feels like they're at all competent to coach offense, why would the players then not jump on board and support them and play hard for them? Just based on what we've seen, I don't understand why they'd be coming up with this type of commentary on, I don't know what's going on with the coaching staff, especially guys that had been there in the past and you've worked with in the past. And like I said, the play by the players hasn't been good enough. People that have, you know, evaporated down the stretch of the regular season or had bad games and big moments against the division rival when you had to have it, and the players have to be better.
Well, I think it's KJ and Dondero on WEEI. Join the conversation, 617-779-7937. Second out. I told you this is the quickest show in America. I think because the two main characters in this whole story about this uncertainty are two guys who went away and failed and who have now come back, and that's Patricia and Judge. And Judge, a lot more alarming than Patricia, right? He went to Detroit where his situation is, I don't even think they know what their situation is. But with Judge was kind of like this flashpoint in terms of how coaches are hired. Was he even qualified for the job? He goes to one of the legacy franchise teams in the league. He's in the biggest market, and he completely lays an egg. And so I think there's a part of, and I may be thinking Joe Judge could be the, if you want something specific, Joe Judge may be the target, because Joe Judge went from special teams to head coach of the Giants when other coaches couldn't even sniff an interview. Joe Judge went there and stunk it up. Everybody saw the 4th and 9 from the 3, okay, and stunk it up. And so now you're bringing this guy in. And some guys weren't here when Joe Judge was here. And you're going to say, yeah, we want you to respect everything this guy says. He is going to be in charge of your knowledge base and helping you execute the plan. Some people are kind of like,
Yeah, but why? They've worked with him before. These players have worked with him before.
Some have not.
It's different, though. When you're not the head coach and you're an assistant coach, you can have a different relationship with the players when you're an assistant coach. So maybe, I don't know.
All the players are not the same from when those guys were gone. Patricia was up in the office for the last couple of years, but Joe Judge was gone and has now come back. You know, three years
yeah.
In the NFL, you could have a full roster turnover.
He was a disaster as a head coach with the Giants, but he's not coming here to be a head coach. He's an assistant now. So
some players may think like maybe he should just go back to like handling special teams. Is that a possibility that people feel that way? Like, this guy is now going to be in charge of the offense when you had the worst offense in the league the 2 years you were a head coach? I mean, you even got rid of Jason Garrett and still were bad. You're still bad. Who you chose, you over, because you were a believer, like, hey, it doesn't matter who the coordinator is, as long as who the head coach is. Okay, if you're the head coach of the 31st worst offense in the league, and now you're going to be coaching offense, I think that's a problem.
But he's not the head coach, so things that made him a disaster in New York won't necessarily make him a disaster here. Bill Belichick is still going to have the final say, and if Mac Jones is competent, I still feel like this offense will run effectively, run smoothly, and produce. So with that being said, that's why I'm not panicking and freaking out over Joe Judge.
At 8-9, they'll do all that?
Well, they don't have good enough players.
Yeah, you can jump on the 6-11 train. It's okay. It's
Joe Judge isn't going to be able to overcome whether he's good. I mean, Bill Belichick's not going to be able to overcome not good players. Not that they're not good. Just based on some of the other teams, they're not quite as good as those teams. And it's a tough league to win games when you have those deficiencies.
But aren't we talking about the same players that went 10-7 last year and made the playoffs for the most part? Aren't we really talking about the same staff? In fact, maybe even some upgrades? And I can still say that this team may be four games worse than last year. Part of it because of the schedule, because it's a tougher schedule this year. But also, I think, because of the uncertainty. We talked about it last week. We didn't get deep into the schedule, which is out now. You check out WBEA.com. I just believe that if the Patriots lose the first four games, it's a real possibility, 1-3. If they go 4-0, I will eat crow. And I don't know if that's healthy to do that, but I will. But I think this is a 1-3 at best after four games, and there are going to be a lot of questions and a lot of adjustments. And are the same people who are doing the damage be the ones that make the adjustments?
I think part of it is you look around the league, specifically the conference, and you look at all the teams and what those teams did. And that's why you don't feel good about the Patriots, despite the fact that, yeah, they added some guys, this and that. But the Bengals shored up their offensive line. The Chargers absolutely loaded up. Kansas City lost Tyreek Hill. But the Chiefs are always going to be good with Mahomes and Reed. They're always going to be.
Wilson's in Denver.
Wilson's now in Denver. Tyreek Hill's now in Miami in your division.
Matt Ryan's in Indy.
Ryan's in Indy. The Bills added Von Miller. Not that that's an absolute game changer, but they really didn't lose anybody. They added a piece. I mean, even the Jets had a really good draft. Not that I'm like worried about them right now, but there's just a lot of competition right directly in your face. So then you look at what the Patriots did last year, juxtaposed to what they added this offseason, combined with the fact that everybody else around you got better, it seems like. The formula doesn't really add up for you. That's
it won't work this year. What you did last year in terms of saying, okay, if we can be the second best team in the AFC East and at least get a double digit win number, we'll at least get one of the wild card spots. I think the wild card is going to be something hard to sniff this year.
Correct.
And I think beyond that, you know, I'm glad that he added 17th game, no more 500 talk. That this is a sub 500 team. And if Greg Bedard is saying that, look, he's spoken to players who said they're concerned.
I don't know. Did he say he spoke to players? I don't think he said that.
Or
heard players saying.
Heard players saying. So he listened to players saying, or he heard players say. So if that's going on, and like I said, if there's 2% of it being true, then it means it's true. That means there's some truth to it. It's KJ and Dondero. The show wraps up next. We'll talk Red Sox here on WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, but I mean, for 2 weeks, I think we've been top three, right, offensively. And there's a lot of guys swinging the bat well. Frenchie was having a rough night, day, and he got a pitch, and he crushed that one. Great base running. Christian got a pitch up in the zone, hit it in the air. So, I mean, it's getting there. We're feeling good about ourselves.
Put him up!
KJ and Dondero, WEEI, thank you so much for starting your Sunday morning with us. That's Alex Cora talking about the turnaround in the Red Sox. 2 weeks ago today, the Sox were 10-19. Had just lost an entire series, both to the White Sox, had lost five in a row, and now they're 18-22. And I'm just going to have to say, it's a lot more palatable for this team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, the division's over. They're not going to win the division. But give him credit for the turnaround, and specifically give Trevor Story credit, who dealt with a lot of negativity early on and has found a way to bounce back and produce and win games for the Red Sox during a key stretch here. So I give him credit, and I think, yeah, the problem is, this is what we talked about back in April when the Masters were going on. We said that you can lose the tournament on Thursday and Friday. You can't win it, but you can lose it. And the Red Sox basically, in terms of the division, went out there and lost the tournament on Friday.
You know, there's people, they're not that far out the wild card. I wouldn't count that yet, but I would say these next 14, 15 games, these next 2 weeks can really change the narrative of the story. And then you might say this is like that long shot horse at Kentucky Derby where it could be a playoff team. You literally have the Seattle this afternoon, and then you've got a 3-game series with the White Sox, and then you get Baltimore for 5 games, followed by Cincinnati, and then you go out west and start your series against Oakland. Those are 3 bad teams, and just say you go 10-4 already when you've won what 8 of your last 11, and you do another 10-4, the team's over 500, and now you may be sniffing or right there a game out, maybe the last wild card team. So this is where I hate to push my 27 game at a time theory, but after 54 games, this team could still be over 500, which was unimaginable 2 weeks ago.
I mean, sure, that's nice. I just think that, you're trying to win the division, get to the playoffs. The wild card isn't out of the question. There are, 4 teams in front of you still? So keep winning and let's see where we are. It's a good thing they turned it around. The bullpen's played well. They've pitched well. They've got a long way to go. But that is an intriguing stretch of games there, and it will be interesting to see where they are when they head off to the West Coast in Oakland.
Now, I will say, if they mess up that series with Baltimore with that 5 games and Saturday the 28th is a doubleheader.
Yeah.
If by chance they stink that up, then I say you can start writing those checks for some of the young guys to come up because I think you say, okay, here is your chance to get healthy, and you didn't. And now as the summer months start to get in, the teams that are hot may continue to stay hot, and the teams that are cold, you may be in that. You now may officially be in that.
Well, that's the problem with the start they had. They were able to God, I can't believe they turned the ball over that much last night. Sorry. They were able to
they have medication for that.
I know. I'm not over it. Not over that turnover differential. The Red Sox weren't able to have a fast enough start, and now they've put themselves in a position where they have to have these big games. You're talking about basically must-win games in May. You know what I mean? Like if it doesn't go well with this series against Baltimore, we're going to start going in a different direction. I mean, it's the end of May. So that's, disappointing that they put themselves in that position. But to their credit, they've won some games. They've turned it, they've righted the ship a little bit. Now they have an opportunity, like you said, against a few bad teams to continue the momentum, and then we'll see where we are at the beginning of June, and they could be okay. So,
June 5th would be the 54th game at Oakland. It'd be the last game in that series with Oakland. I think we'll be able to get our final answer of where the Red Sox are this season. Okay, so last night, the Celtics, Mark, I'm just going to say it. Give Eric Spoelstra credit for his adjustments that he made.
Absolutely.
And that Bam Adebayo had no impedance going to the rim. That's why the Celtics, that's a big reason why the Celtics lost. Because if you're going to say turnovers, 19 of the 23 turnovers were steals. That's defense. If you told me that they had 10 unforced errors, then I'd be like, oh my gosh, they just kicking the ball out of bounds all game. But, Miami's there to play defense too. And that's what they did. And that's what they do. Spoelstra just outcoached them with a couple of adjustments and going straight to the rim like Milwaukee did with, Brooke Lopez in those games where the Celtics struggled and Robert Williams wasn't in the game.
Yeah, it's not just Spo. It's the player. Give the players credit. They showed up. They were ready to go. They executed. They put the Celtics, the cliches, they punched them in the mouth and all those things. And the Celtics weren't able to, they were too wobbly for the beginning part of that game. And it just didn't work out. And I'll say this. I have no information, obviously, on this. But personally, I would be floored, shocked, dumbfounded if Jimmy Butler didn't play in Game 4. Like, does that feel like a Jimmy Butler thing to do? Miss Game 4 because of some knee inflammation? Doesn't feel like it to me.
He may miss Game 4.
He's going to miss Game 4?
I think he misses Game 4. But okay. Here's the bigger question is, does Rob Williams miss Game 4?
No, I think he's back.
You pray. That's what you pray. You hope. But I think that because he's been in and out, in and out, in and out, that tells me more. That upper management is more concerned about what long-term damage may be happening to his knee and may just say, hey, look, you have to go at it. The guys that you got on the court, you just got to roll with them tomorrow night.
I think Butler plays. I think Williams plays.
So you have the Celtics in seven games. I'm sticking to Celtics in six. So that means the Celtics win out the next three games. But if there's no Rob Williams tomorrow, I'm going to let you know that the Celtics will not win the series at all.
And I will just say that the Celtics can win a game if Rob Williams doesn't play, if Jason Tatum has a good game. That can happen.
And who guards Bam Adebayo again?
But Bam can have a big, Giannis had 45 and 20 and the Celtics won. Why?
Because
Tatum
was only Giannis.
Tatum was special. Because Tatum was special. Because Tatum was special. Yes, Bam had a big game and it hurt not having Williams in there. But if Tatum is special, he can help overcome that like he did against Giannis.
At KJ Carson, at Mark Dondero, at WEEI, thank you so much for hanging out. You can hear the show at Odyssey app. It's free. Go to weekend shows. Brian Barrett is next. Red Sox at 1. Have a great Sunday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.